when I was standing up there doing praise and worship, and I want to kind of spin off on something that Louis said to me while we were in the elders meeting. And I don't want to shame you with this, but you know, he just came out, you know, the Bible instructs us, encourages us to be sober-minded about ourselves. Amen. In other words, we have to think really like God wants us to think about who we are, not to overinflate our worthiness or our, you know, what we do and our performances and so forth and so on. And Louis said, and I hope to shame you all. He said, well, you know, Pastor, a lot of us in your congregation, you know, we're getting up in years. And when he said it, just hit me. My birthday is today. I'm 59 years old. And, and you know, it's almost like he just took a thing and said, Kurt, you're no longer a young man. You know? And I was like, oh, my God, all this time. I was thinking, oh, no, I forbid it, Lou. I forbid it. And then, we need to think sober about ourselves, right? And as he was saying that, God was saying, well, you know, you don't, you know, some of you don't know me. As you see me up in praise and worship, and you're leading, and you see me behind the piano, and I haven't always been behind the piano and doing praise and worship. Well, I've been up front singing, leading praise, and I am a very excited person about Jesus. And I believe that he deserves everything that I can give him. I don't do it to be showy. I don't do it so that you can say, oh, look at Kurt, he's praising God. I do it because I believe God deserves everything in me. Everything that I have, I should be praising and magnifying his name. And even though I am a little up in years, and I'm going to shame you all, if even though you are a little up in years, we should be giving God everything. We shouldn't be caring about who's sitting next to us. We shouldn't be caring about who's over here, who's over there. He is your God who has redeemed you from what? Death. I don't know about you, but that excites me just saying it. You know, you don't have to go to hell and suffer. You know, you say, I'm getting closer to that time where I'm going to meet him. You say, you probably have more invested in that and saying that than anybody else. Well, we all do, because we are getting closer to the time where we will meet him. And we don't want him to feel ashamed, because there's nobody else going to be up there with you. When you come before Jesus, it's just going to be you and him. There's going to be angels. There could be clouds, and there's going to be a heavenly host, and, you know, who knows the throne. Maybe the picture that I got, you know, God sits on his throne. You know, he appears to be as a man, you know, but there is a likeness of man as he sits there full of glory. How will that glory burst out? You know, will there be a rainbow of colors around him? Will there be birds fluttering around? You know, how would he be? Well, anyway, Jesus is going to step. He sits beside, he's going to step out, and you're going to step forward. And he's going to look at you, and he's going to say to you, what do you want him to say? Well, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, right? But you don't want him to say, what? How come you couldn't raise your hand when you was in praise? What was all that about? Why couldn't you dance a little bit, you know? Well, you know, you get out there and party with all those other people. How come you couldn't party a little bit for me? What was wrong with me? He looks at it and says, what's wrong with me?
I was old.
What? Will you say? Well, I'm old and feeble. I'm lame. Oh, my back hurts. And my thighs hurt. And my knees creak. And my toes are crumbling. I just couldn't do blah, blah, blah. And he's going to look at you and go, well, I took all care of that on the cross. Right? When you accepted me, you got all of that fixed. And you're going to go, oh, I know that, Jesus, but, you know, it was too much. You know, my faith was so little. And he said, smaller than a mustard seed? You know, it was smaller than a mustard seed. What he was really saying in that, is that you don't have any faith at all, is what that is. That's what that's saying. Because if it just has to be as small as lust sees, just a little teeny bit of faith, and he can do whatever he needs to do for you. But so what is going to happen? So you say, well, Curtis, what is it you want? What are you trying to say to us? I want you to move a little bit in praise and worship for your own good. For your own good. It's a good thing to praise and worship God. Now, I don't want you to fall down and break yourself because you're in pain. But I want you to consider that we are to be excited about God, to be explosively excited about him. You know, we want to be people to be drawn to us or to our church. We want the church to grow, right? Then we need to fill this place with the presence of God. Because that's the only reason why I'm here, because of the presence of God. Pastor Eric is a great pastor, and he ministers great word. In all my years, I've never heard the word ministered so like he does. It's great to be here, and I'm blessed. But I'm not here for him. You know, and I love Doug. He was one of the first people that greeted me when I came to here. I love him. He's got a bubbly personality and spirit. He just oozes, I love Jesus. I love him, but I'm not here because of him. And I want you to receive this and say to yourself, well, neither am I. I'm not here because we have good people here and people who love us and people who can share the love of God and people who are fantastic in things that they do. You know, but we're not here because of that. You know, and I know you're not here for the music because you'd be more excited about it. That's a dig on myself. I'm sorry. If you are excited about God in the music, praise the Lord. But, you know, we don't come to church for that. We come to church for Jesus and the presence of God. And he gives us all kinds of promises to let us know that he is what? Real. Because I think some of the times we don't connect our faith with the fact that, wait a minute, God does exist. I may not see him like I would like to, but he does exist. He is real. And he is alive. Yes, he is. Right? And so if you connect those two things together, and during this age, you know, it's very difficult to find like-minded people who think somewhat like you do. And I want you to think like me in that sense that God is real. And because he is real and he is looking at us, not only from up in heaven, but from within us, because that's how he births us. We become born again and he then inhabits us. We become his temples, temples of the Holy Spirit. He's here right now because we are here, right? Because of that, you have a reality check that when you begin to magnify and praise him, it is because he is here. No other reason. It's because God is here. He is real. And you will stand before him one day to testify that very thing. Right? So you say, well, and I heard somebody, you know, I don't have to do all that. I'm going to talk today a little bit about some graces that we have from God. But first of all, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy that endures forever and ever for us. Holy Spirit of God, who dwells in us to teach us. You even say to us that you don't even need a man to teach you, because I'm going to be in you to teach you all the things you need to know. I'm going to guide you into all truth. We thank you, Father, that you use us this morning to speak your word. We only want to do and to say, Father, things that you desire to be said this morning. And these are ears, Lord God. We thank you that we are all hearers of the word, that we desire to hear what you say, and that, Father God, we will receive them into our heart to do them accordingly to your spirit now. We bless you for it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, I could come here and I could heap tons of condemnation on you, right? Because we know how to do condemnation. Why do we know how to do that? Because we're all still in our flesh, and we all know how condemnation feels, and so we are very acquainted with condemnation, right? But my desire is not to do that. My desire is not to condemn anyone, nor to bring any kind of accusation against you. But the Word of God is very sensitive. It divides between our motives and our what we feel and what we think. It's able to get in between, right, what we're thinking. Because you need to know whether you're thinking soberly or not about yourself and who you are. So I want to start off with that, you know, I've been praying here at the church. God has just put that assignment on me. Curtis, you need to come, and you need to come to church and pray. And my first thing that I was praying for the church. I thought, well, I'm going to church, praying for the church. And, you know, I got through that week, and and then it all began to be about my relationship with God. What kind of relationship do you have with God? Because, see, God knows everything before you even pray for it. So he knows what you have need of. So you really don't need to pray for those things you already have need of. We know that we're supposed to ask God anyway, and we do. That's being obedient to God. But he knows it already. So I was trying to get a hold of, well, God, what do you want me to pray for? I mean, there's prayer requests galore. You know, Linda receives prayers, and there's a list that we pray for even on Wednesdays when we have corporate prayer. And the corporate prayer, for those of you who don't know what that means, it means the body comes together to pray, right? We pray in agreement so that God can fulfill his will for our church. For the church, I should say his church, but it's the church that we go to, so I call it our church. That's why we come together on Wednesdays for corporate prayer. Now, I know some of you can't do that because your schedule's in time, and God knows that too. But for those of you who've been wondering and pondering, that time is available for you, 5:15 on Wednesdays, to come and pray. So I've been praying every day, Monday through Friday, and on Wednesdays I try to join the corporate prayer. Sometimes on the weekends, just as God leads me. So why, you say, what up, Ab? So I've been praying this, and he's been instructing me, you know, how to pray and what to pray for and so forth. And then it got to the point where he said, well, you know, as men and women in the earth, because we are in our flesh, we can only pray about things that we know about. But there are many things that are coming down the pike, not only that it will affect our lives, but would affect the lives of other people and those here in the church as well. How do I pray for those things that are coming down the road? What strategy that God has given us so that we can then pray for things and head off the defeat and defeat the enemy before he even gets to the place where he creates a circumstance that we then have to overcome, right? How do I begin to pray about those things that he already knows that are coming down the pike for me? How do I pray? This is what he's sharing with me as I'm praying through the week. And he says to me these things. As Paul says to us many times, pray in the Spirit. Pray in your most holy faith. You know, believing and trusting in him that God is going to pray out things that are going to come for you or towards you. You have to pray in the Spirit for those things because you know you don't know them, but the Spirit of God knows them. Now, he can't reveal them, and God bless you if the Spirit of God is revealing those things that are coming down the road for you and you are praying for them. But I'm just thinking, and don't let condemnation come on you, but most of us don't pray like that. And so things come into our life, and we did have to deal with them when we could have been praying in the Spirit of God so that he could forewarn us or even thwart the enemy's plans and strategies against you so that they wouldn't come to affect you. That is the purpose of why he has given us the ability for us to pray in the Spirit. Now, this is not a prayer in the Spirit message. That's not my message. But I want to encourage you about some things God has just been sharing to me. Now, and so you got to be thinking, why am I not praying in the Spirit? Why do I have a hard time believing to pray in the Spirit? There is tons of, you know, I'm saying this without going to the scripture because there's tons of scripture that talks about the Holy Spirit coming in, the power of God overshadowing you, and you being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. and praying in other tongues. It's in there. We know it's in there. We read it. And I'm saying this, but you know, I started off because we're getting up in years. And I know that as I'm here now, I've been saved for almost 40 years. Saved for 40 years. Sounds really bad. 40, you've been walking with the Lord for 40 years. And Kurt, this is all how far you got? It seems like you should have gotten from here to there, but you're still, why are you over here? You should be over there. This is the things that God is talking to me about. You've been saved and walking with me all this long. What's going on? Right? I'm bringing that up because, you know, I have know some things in the Spirit, and I want you to know them too. Our vision for this church to see the New River Valley filled with the knowledge of the glory of Him. Now, God stopped me when He said to see, because if we could stand or be risen up or go on a helicopter or plane and look over the New River Valley, would we see the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God? Would you be able to see it? Would you be able to see it? Some of you are going, well, yeah, well, okay. Well, no. So that word to see in our vision means to see to it that the New River Valley is filled with the knowledge of the glory of Him. We are to see to it that God's glory is filled in this earth down in where we are. That's the vision that we have, or the pastor has given us, or God has given us really through our pastor, for this church. How are we going to do that without praying out things that we don't even know about? How are you going to do that? Can't just be me. I was standing there, God sent another young man, but he was 63, to help me for a week or two. And we were praying, and it dawned on me that, you know, God can do, he can do whatever He wants. We know this, right? God, He can do anything He wants to do. But there are conditions in His word that He gives His children, you and I, right, to perform, because that's what He asks us to do. Now, He doesn't put any condemnation on you, right? So if you just want to sit there and do nothing, and just sit there and do nothing, He is not going to come and try to beat you over the head and try to rile you into, you know, doing something. Get up. Come on, Brian. Get up out of that chair. Come on, Brian. You know, you see two angels around there going, oh, come on, Brian. Come on, Brian. You know, He's not going to do that, right? Because He's already sent something like that to us already. What is that? It's the Word of God. He's already sent it. Now, it means that we as Christians, children of God, are actually reading the Word of God. We as Christians are actually reading the Word of God. I'm getting to it. This is an introduction to my message. I see now, God. Thank you. So we need to be doing that part so that we can get the revelation of what He wants us to do. That is the purpose of why He's even called us for Himself. Now, I'm going to tell you the end of all of this when I get to the word here. Where does God want us to end up? Paul talks about where he wants all the believers, where God wants all the believers to end up doing. He gives us a vision of it. And sometimes we don't capture or grab it. Or we, you know, because of where we are in God's growth and grace in our life, we don't perceive it. You know, we don't get to it. But the vision of God, He wants to be in you, operating through you, right, and causing whatever He needs to happen, whether that be healings, whether that be answers to prayer, whether that be whatever it is, He wants to be in you doing that. He can't do that while you are in the way. So He tells you, Paul tells us, you have to what? Kill your flesh, get out of the way. You have to deny yourself. You have to become owned by God, right? Filled with His Spirit, He tells us that over and over again, so that you then can respond like God wants you to respond at every situation and every opportunity, regardless of where you are, you can begin to move out in the Spirit of God. Know the answer, know what to say, know what to do in every situation of your life. Every situation of your life is in here. He's already done. Now, I know some of you are going, doggone it, I'm not really there. I'm not there. So let me just put the thing on you first. I'm not there yet. I've been praying in the church, and I've been seeing how I fall short. I'm falling short. I'm falling short, God. Help me, because I see where you want us to go. In order for us to do the vision that God has given for us, we're all going to have to do that step. I admonish you today, begin to seek the Lord for your part in the vision that God has for us here. Part of that is going to be a revelation of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in you more than he is in you today. I was walking in Walmart. This has been about around Christmas time. I was just walking, minding my own business, my groceries, and a young lady, she was 70 years old, a young lady said, "Hey, Curtis, Brother Curtis." This is a woman that was in our church where we were before. And she said, "Guess what?" And I said, "What?" I said, she says, "I'm retired." She worked at Virginia Tech. "I'm retired." I said, "Well, how long you been there?" She'd been there almost 50 years working. And she was then retired. And she went on to say and how she didn't know what she was going to do when she retired. That's why she stayed at work, right? And I said, "Well, what's happening?" Well, God had given her, I'm going to give you a little bit of this testimony for you. God had, she loved the song, the Amazing Grace. And her daughter had given her a CD with this group, a country singing group, that were singing this song that the daughter liked, and because she thought her mom liked it. So she got this tape, a CD, and she said to me, "You know, I don't care for country music, but it had that song on there, right?" And she loves the song Amazing Grace. So as she was listening to the song, the Spirit of God came up on her and told her, "I want you to be the prayer warrior for this group." Now, she didn't know them. She was like, "Who are they?" She didn't care. God said, "I want you to pray for them." And all of a sudden, listen to me, she had this knowing about what to pray for. I think there were like four members in the group. And I don't think it's, so it's not a Christian band, right? But she just got this unction. That's what she was supposed to do. So she was telling me how excited she was about this. And apparently this didn't happen like right then. It happened maybe the year before. And she's just catching me up. Because through that year, she began to pray, that group came to Roanoke to perform. And so she's like, "Oh, I got to go, and I got to go see them." Well, when she went to see them, somehow or another, her ticket ended up being on the front row. And being on the front row, she was like, "Oh," she was so excited. Well, while she was there, one of the band people stopped and said, "This woman right here, I think you're supposed to help us in some kind of way. This is a secular band. Now, maybe some of them would say, I don't know, but what the heck, y'all?" She got to go back to the back with them, and she got to tell them the story that God had given her about being their prayer warrior, and they were so excited. And she was so excited that God was raising her up as a prayer warrior in her 70s to do something. She knew that eventually all of them are going to be professing the name of Jesus, crying out to God in their family. She knows that the prayer that she's going to pray is going to affect them. Come on. So there's things that can happen if we are doing what God has asked us to do, right? And I want to give you that because what Louis said, we're getting up in years. What am I going to do? Because I know some of you are thinking, "I can't do anything." But I'm telling you, you are here for a purpose. You know, the church has lost its greatest power. They've lost the belief of their greatest power. And our greatest power in the earth today is prayer. You know, we all are grabbing a hold of and putting our hope and trust in men and circumstances and money and stuff like that. But God says, no, you are prey. The prayer of a righteous man avails much, right? Makes much power available to do whatever God wants it to do. That's our brother. We are here. We are citizens from another place sent as ambassadors to the earth for God to proclaim what he is doing here. Under his unction, not under our own. We can't sit down and decide that, you know, she couldn't decide that I'm going to be a prayer warrior for those groups. I mean, she may could have got something and said that to herself, but it was God saying that to her. This is important because none of us, even those of us who are up in years, can determine that for God. Doggone it. All right, so I have nine pages here. I actually got three or four sermons here for you. I'm just waiting on the Spirit of God to tell me which one to go and jump into. So in part of what I was doing, and I want to share with you, growing in grace and the stages of growth that we go through. Now, do I have all of them? I don't know. I just had the ones that God shared with me. And where you can actually kind of say, oh, that's where I am in my walk with God. That was the purpose, I believe, of this. And to give us some definitions about some things that are going on for us. So that we can grab a hold of what we're to do. And emphatically, I mean very specifically, very pointedly, begin to do what God wants us to do. No wavering from what I've been saying. That's a direct statement that I think that this is what God wants us to do. Right? Because we're headed somewhere. There's a ministry, there's words that's gone forth from the pastor. We are, you know, a lot of, you know, people talking about why we're not growing. You're asking that question. Why we're not, well, you know, why not people are coming to the church? Why, you know? And I want you to think, and I know that some of you are going to go, well, ain't nothing wrong with me. Must be that other person over there. Oh, it could be Curtis. You know, Curtis is, because he's so, you know, exuberant and he's playing that kind of music. Who could be him? You know, or it could be, you know, this. And you think of all these things of why the church is not growing. Oh, God. I had this vision. I was going to put a plan up here on the podium for you to take a look at it. And then for us to all kind of to figure out, how does that plant grow? What's got to take place for it to just come out of the dirt and come up, sprout, produce whatever fruit they're supposed to be producing? We be watching it. So this is what you're doing. Why are you not growing? Looking at that plant. What's wrong with you? Get some on you. Just looking at it, you know. Man, I don't know what's going on with that plant. It says, look at that. When you ask that question, why the church is not growing, that's really what you're doing, right? But we all know, instinctively, we know that plant's going to grow because inside of itself, it has its own ability to do it, right? And we pour water on it. You know, that's what we told we're supposed to do, pour some water on it. And as it sucks in the water, it just does its thing, grows. Well, Jesus, God tells us that he, what, adds to the church as he sees fit, as he wills. He adds daily to the church. Who's adding to the church? God is adding to the church. So if you want to know, well, God, why is our church not growing? I think you need to be talking to the man. Okay. So we got some turning. So now you need to go to God and ask him. Wow. So now you start your prayer life. Woo. That's all that is. When you talk to God, you are praying. And it doesn't matter to God that it had to start with a question. That he needs each and every one of you to be praying out what it is that he wants you to do. And it doesn't matter, and I don't want to pick on you, how far up in age you are. Doesn't matter, because your relationship with God is how he is going to be affected, and then it's going to affect us, right? Some of us have more time to pray. I come after work here every day, and you say, well, because my children are gone from the house, just me and Sherry there, and I could go home and pray with her or whatever. But God said, come to the church. So I wanted it to be something that I was committed to doing and away from stuff that can distract me from doing it. So I come to the church to pray. I come to church to focus myself, because if I go at home, I'm going to clean, I'm going to cut the grass, I'm going to watch TV, I'm going to eat, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to play with the animals. I'm going to do a bunch of stuff that's around there to that. That's distracts. It's distracting. So that's why I come here. I could sweep here and clean here. I guess I could, but that's not why I'm here. The purpose I come is to pray. And you said, well, I talked about prayer last time. Remember my last message? We talked about Samuel, 1 Samuel with Elkanah and Hannah. And there was something in Hannah that I want you to, you know, you can see just a little bit of. I'm going to go back to that just for a second. She was being provoked by Elkanah's second wife. She was being provoked by her. Now, Hannah could have grew up and she could have been satisfied that, okay, I'm barren, I'm not going to have any children. There are women that have received that and feel like, okay, I'm not to have children in the earth, and that's okay. She marries Elkanah, and then Phinehas began to provoke her, make her mad, and she gets to feel like, my dog, I feel all right that I don't have children, but why? Why she attacks her every, you know, you don't have no children. Oh, what's wrong with you? What's going on? So she begins to get vexed, right? Hannah is vexed because she now feels like I got to have some children because this woman is just, she's attacking me. But God uses that to get Hannah to pray, because then he has a purpose behind how she begins to pray that then produces a prophet for the nation of Israel. Come on, y'all. Come on, get what I'm saying. Get what I'm saying. So, and this is what I mean by condemnation. In Job, there are 42 chapters of Job. You guys know this. And Job was, he was attacked by the enemy. You know, there was this the writer gives us this picture of Job, of God, and Satan coming up to God and go, hey, yeah, I can't do nothing in the earth because you got all your people, you know, hedged up and protected. I want you to understand that regardless of whether you are in sin or not, God still loves you and protects you, okay? And so, you know, he says, well, lift the hand off of him, lift the hedge off of him, God, and I'll, you know, spite him and he'll begin to deny you, right? This is what Satan's request is. And I want you to know something about that statement, you know, that whole picture. God does not listen to what Satan asks him to do. He has no part in him. That description is a man's development. That did not come out of the heart of God or what actually happens in heaven. So that you can, now I can go, well, God made that happen to us. Because, you know, Satan was up there and he needed somebody to attack and smoke. So God said, oh, try Eric. He's a pastor. He should hold up to it. That does not happen. That is not a picture of your God. Come on, y'all. God does not do that. So you say, well, what's happening? Did you read the 42 chapters? Did you read them? Did you read them? Job got caught up in being so righteous in all the things that he was doing. He was being blessed. And he was so proud of his blessing. It tells you that in the first chapter, actually. But we miss it, right? When he says that all his children goes and they have birthday parties. Right? He said, oh, my children, I want to bless them. And he blesses them. They take the fatted cows or whatever. And they have these big old parties for all the birthdays, all his children, all the girls and the guys, all of them have these wonderful birthday parties. What does Job do? The next day, Job gets up and he goes, oh, pray tell, I'm going to go and make a sacrifice to God. So if my children have sinned, then they could be forgiven. Is that how it works? Is that how it works? It does not work that way. He was so proud. He was thinking that his prayer actually could, his sacrifices could redeem them from their sin. No, that does not. It's not how it works. He was prideful because he was like, I'm going to the church and I'm going to lay hold. And I'm thinking, why didn't you teach them how to do right from the very beginning? Why didn't you raise them up to be men and women after God so that they wouldn't sin? That's how God wants us to minister to our children. Not, they were sinned. Yes, they did. They sinned. Right? And so, this is the thing that we don't want to say, but I want you to know that this is what happened. He was built up in pride in himself. And then when God afflicted him, Satan afflicted him. Somebody was like, oh, God, woo. The sickness was allowed to come on him because of what he did. Job didn't say, oh, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. He didn't say that. He said, wait a minute, God, I'm a righteous man. I've done everything you told me to do. What are you doing smiting me and taking my stuff? Wait, God, you better get yourself together. This is not how it's supposed to be. Did you read it? Some of you are going to go home and read it now. He said, and then his three friends impressed their soul. Hallelujah. Thank you for friends. They saw Job over there being attacked. They said, oh, man, we need to go over and tell him what's going on because we know, too, what's happening. And so they try to do that, and Job keeps responding back to them. Man, I'm a righteous man. I teach the people. I give to the poor. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Over and over and over and over again. It's just them back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Lots of good stuff in there. But then there's a fourth guy. Did you know there was another guy other than three? You didn't know. There's another guy that's sitting there listening. And he is not, I should have said this before, but these three guys and Job are up in years. They're up there. He's blessed and mighty because he's got things going on, right? So this young guy says, well, I just want to say, and he really is gracious to them. He says, I know you're older than I am and you're supposed to know better than me, but I just want to share with you the words of God that God has given me. The Spirit of God has come upon me and I want you to give these words, and I want you to listen because these words are from God and not from me. Interesting. Because none of the other ones were saying that. They were up in years because they spent all this time. I got 40 years and I know all this stuff. Let me go share with Job about what's going on. Tell him what my experience is so he can be blessed and get out of this boy. And Job. So this young man gives him the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord makes Job understand that he has sinned. Who am I to think that I am greater than God? Who am I to think that this, in Proverbs 26:2, it tells us that the curse causeless does not come. So in other words, something that's detrimental or anything that's happening to you doesn't come because of something, the birds flying in the air. It comes because we are doing something. Now, we can either look at it like that and get ourselves into a mode of receiving from God, or we could go, ain't nothing wrong with me. It happened, and okay, there's nothing I'm doing. There's nothing I'm doing. Nothing I'm doing wrong. It's caused this thing to happen. God, you need to fix this. And it stays with you. Sickness, disease, trial, hard time, whatever it is, it's going to stay with you until you come to the revelation, God, what it is, what do I need to do to conquer whatever this is that I'm going through? That's really all he wants. He wants you to have a conversation with him about whatever this thing is. Now, you're saying, oh my God. He just told me. I'm not heaping any kind of condemnation on you. I'm telling you the story of what happened to Job and what happened in his life and what we can, as children of God, take as an example back to us so that we can learn what happened. Now, you can be staunch. You can say, Curtis, I just don't believe that. I'm just going to stay in this situation until God lifts it off me. Or you can say, Father, why am I in this situation? Why is our town, our community, suffering where the innocent are being destroyed? Why is our country in the state that it's in? Why is there so much of this rampant lawlessness going on? Right? You can say, you could just, what? Can't be me. Well, are you and I doing what we're supposed to do to cause those things not to happen? Praying in the Spirit of God because we don't know who the next fool that's got a strategy against the innocent that's going to come out with a gun and shoot somebody. Who knows? God knows every last one of them. Can he cause their strategy to come on themselves, which is his promise in the word, if we begin to pray, he can stop those circumstances. You say, well, I've been praying that. Yes, I have. And I believe that, yes, there's some things that still happen. But I believe that because I'm praying, there wasn't as many of them that happened. How about that? I believe God, through our prayer, can begin to throw at the enemy's hand and hold those things up. Our community surely has been calmed down in that respect. But what you're praying, though, is you're praying out of the Spirit. And what God prays is that light come. Because, sin is only done in what? In darkness. So if you're praying for light to come, even if you're praying in the Spirit, God is illuminating and things are happening. And I'm telling you, all kinds of things get revealed. Woo! Not only about our community and people in our community, but about you and your relationship to God. Everything comes out. This is a beautiful thing to pray. It's a beautiful thing to be in a place where we can become righteous before him. That word righteous and righteousness means for us to have a right relationship with God. The only way you and I can have a right relationship with God is that we begin to walk in the Spirit, because the flesh is at enmity with God. It's at war with God. It's at war. Your flesh and all of your sensual and desires that come out of you is at war with God. So that's why he wants you to walk in the Spirit and take your cues and take your unctions and take your decisions and actions from him so that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is the only place where you can pray out the will of God and it be done for you. Right? He said, if you were being me and I and you, you pray what you will and it'll be done. Why? Because you are in the Spirit. And you only want what God wants. Come on. So, all right. So what am I doing? I'm doing what God was doing to me. He was aligning Curtis's attitude and heart to be more like him. Right? Because we got to get there. He's provided the way already. He's provided that way for us to align our life like his. Now, will some of us go crazy? I don't know. I don't know what God's going to tell you to do. But I know this. It's going to produce more of the presence of God in our life, in our church, in our community. Do you want to be a part of that? Raise your hand and let me see it, that you agree that you want to be a part of that. The glory of God coming into our community, setting people free, allowing his name to be lifted up. And we have a part. Now you go, I don't want to stand up here and talk to you. If you want to know the truth, I don't want to be over there playing piano. I don't want to do that. I love praise and worship God. I want to be out dancing. Hallelujah. That's what I want to do. But I do. Here's a good one. I don't want to be an elder. Well, we must be obedient to God, right? We have to be obedient. All right, so let me get to my how long we got? 5 minutes? Do I got 5 minutes? Is it 5 minutes? What time we get out? Huh? All right, 6 minutes. Well, I knew there was a lot, and you're going to love what I have prepared for you. If I get to minister next week, I'll pick up for it and start there. Just as an introduction to next week, the sermon, I had some different titles and things, but I'm calling it Growing in Grace. And I'm going to give you four, God gave me four stages of growth that we all enter in. As newborn babes in Christ, we receive the sincere miracle of the Lord. We move from newborn babes in Christ to being children of God. What's the express characteristic of children of God? The word tells us children of God are obedient to God. We move from being obedient to children of God to being young men and women of God, sons of God. Sons of God are interested in what? The word of God, understanding and wisdom from God. They are concentrating on getting that from him. And then that leads you into being spiritually mature, men and women of God, which gives you to that one statement I made before, where we're all headed. God is in us. We're in him. And every action, every decision, everything we do, we don't do nothing without seeking him first and without knowing that, oh, this is what God wants me to do. Now, I know some of you are going to take that too far. Infants and babies who hear that, and children who hear that statement, they think, well, doggone it, he's going to tell me when to brush my teeth or take a bath? Is he going to tell me what kind of clothes to put on? When you talk about every action and everything, that's what they think. But we know when we become spiritually mature what that really means. We walk waiting for the Spirit of God to give us words to say to people so that they can know that he loves them, that he desires them into the kingdom of God. You know, he gives you, oh, I just need to give them a hug. He gives you actionable things to do. Oh, I just need to lay my hands on them and pray. This is the things that we are obedient to when we become mature Christians. We walk like God wants us to walk. There's no doubt in your mind about how those things are. Paul gives us two scriptures, and I'll talk about those next week, that lets us know exactly what those mature things are and where we are headed as just believers in God and where we want our lives to be. Are we there yet? No. Am I there? No. Anybody there? No. But he wants us to be hungry and seeking after those better things. And some of you go, I ain't got time for that. I'm tired. I'm not tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. Let them do that. Pastor, you do that, blah, blah, blah. And that means let you know that God loves you and he is not mad at you for not doing those things. He is waiting for those of us who want that. That's all we're saying, that he is waiting. And it's so precious. And you talking about wanting the gifts of the Spirit to be in our midst, and wanting things to happen, and wanting to see the magnificence of God. You wait till all of us begin to understand our part. And some of us are going to be here and go, phew. Some of us are going to be here and go, phew. Some of us are going to be here and go, phew. However it is, it is between you and God. But I know that this is what he would have me to share for you.